RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Headlines, Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. House calls toll tar removal to prevent congestion. Airplane passenger increase during Idul Fitri. Now the news in detail. Chairman the Commission 5 of the House of the Representatives DPR UD Widiana Adia overseeing infrastructure and transportation calls on the government to remove toll tariffs if super traffic jams occurred during returning flow of this year's Lebaran holiday. He said in a press release on Friday that efficient travel time is one of the services that must be provided by toll road operators based on the toll road minimum service standard set by the government. For inner city and outer city toll roads, the minimum speeds are set at 40 km per hour and 60 km per hour respectively. In addition, the maximum time to be spent at toll gates is set at between 5 to 9 seconds for the closed system. Under the minimum service standards, toll road operators are also required to meet certain conditions such as toll road condition, accessibility, mobility, and safety, environmental aspect, and rest areas. Within 24 hours from July 7 to July 8, 2016, there has been a 12% increase in the number of airplane passengers compared to the second day of Idul Fitri last year. Based on observation made by the Transportation Ministry, there were 231,845 airplane passengers in the second day of Idul Fitri 2016, the number of 12.63% higher compared to the 205,845 passengers recorded in the second day of Idul Fitri 2015. Head of Transportation Ministry Outpost Sri Lestari Rahayu said on Friday that the increase in number of passengers were seen in the several airports including in Padang, Solo, Bandar Aceh, Semarang, Tanjung Karang, Halim Perdana Kusuma, Kendari, Denpasar, Jayapura, Yogyakarta, Medan, Praia, Jambi, Palu, Pangkal Pinang, Makassar, Surabaya, Biak, Ambon, Kupang, Pontianak, Tarakan, Pekanbaru, Manado, Bandung, Gorontalo, Palembang, Banjarmasin, Soekarno-Hatta, and Jakarta. However, Sri said that there is also a decrease in the number of passengers in several airports including in Balikpapan, Tanjung Pinang, Palangkaraya, Batam, and Bengkulu. The large reduction was recorded in Bengkulu with 98.64% decreased. In preparation for the homecoming return trip, state-owned oil and gas company Pertamina Region 4 of Central Java has prepared fuel supply to anticipate the increasing number of vehicles. Pertamina Region 5 Area Manager for Communication and Relations, Suyanto, said that based on data gathered on July 7, 2016, premium tide fuel distribution had reached 11,823 kiloliters, 131% higher compared to the regular days. Meanwhile, diesel fuel distribution had reached 1,680 kiloliters, 33% higher compared to regular days. In relation to preparation traffic congestion from areas such as the East Brebes Toll Road, Pantura Pejagan Intersection and Pantura Ketanggungan Jatibaran Intersection, Pertamina will prepare mobile fuel dispensers. Suyanto also added that Pertamina will also cooperate with police to allow smooth distribution of fuel to gas stations located in congestion-prone areas. According to a recent study by Peach Group BMI Research, Indonesia's oil and gas and heyday may have come to an end with non-commodity sectors taking over as the engine of growth over the 9-10 years. BMI Research said in its latest report entitled 10 Emerging Markets of Future, that growth in Indonesia will be far less commodity-centric than over the past decade, as the mining and oil and gas sectors will stagnate. Indonesia is included in the top 10 list, along with the Philippines, Vietnam, Myanmar, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Nigeria. BMI Research forecasts that annual oil output in 2025 would be 12.2% lower than in 2015, while rapid growth is predicted in non-commodity sectors in line with the major government drive in infrastructure and manufacturing. Power network infrastructure, the automotive industry and consumer services such as e-commerce and healthcare are cited as the sector that may drive growth in the next 10 years. Indonesian embassy in Egypt keeps creating measures in dealing with Indonesian illegal migrant workers in the country. Indonesian ambassador to Egypt, Helmi Fosi, said that Indonesian embassy is currently negotiating with the Egyptian authority to be able to get valid data on Indonesian citizens who stay and come to Egypt.
Justru ini yang memang sedang kita lakukan.
We are negotiating with the Egyptian authority. We ask them to share data on Indonesian citizens' activities that come in and leave the country. We want to know where they work, to whom they are served. They are mostly got picked directly from the airport and brought to their employers. We don't know who they are. We only know it if there was an issue regarding their presence here. This should be fixed. Furthermore, Ambassador Helmi Fosi said that most Indonesian informal migrant workers in Egypt are illegal, as Egypt is not a place country for illegal workers. He added that the Indonesian embassy will reform the Indonesian migrant worker issues from the upstream level to anticipate further illegal migrant workers coming to Egypt. Indonesian students in Al-Azhar Cairo, Egypt, gained special attention from lecturers of Al-Azhar University. They were provided by two houses or two saha in 2014. One of the lecturers, Ihsan Inesaha, said that the Indonesian saha should be used to improve religious knowledge. Ihsan also stated that Indonesian saha is a place to develop moderate Islamic teachings, and it is expected that alumni could develop moderate Islamic teachings in Indonesia.
Pesan dari para masyayikh atau yang ngasih donatur
ini, our elders always said that we are expecting to come home and spread Islamic teachings with Ashari methodology, which is wasatiyah, and not to follow the terrorists. But to develop morals in Indonesia, Islamic teachings can be implemented accordingly as what Prophet touched until ulamas touch nowadays. Furthermore, Ihsan also said that one of the SAHA activities is to conduct researches to help students fully understand about teachings in Al-Azhar University. He added that the SAHA is dedicated to the new Indonesian student who lack of Arabic language capabilities. The last item, Indonesian Minister of Transportation Ignatius Jonan said that the government will shut any illegal ports in some regions across Indonesia, in response to the President Joko Widodo's instruction last June. The instruction came out to reduce smuggling activities in the regions. Minister Jonan also pointed out that the government is about to shut those illegal ports after Idul Fitri festivities.
Setelah lebaran, sebenarnya begini, kita sudah menertibkan arahan pertama.
After Idul Fitri, actually we have prepared the letter of instruction for the ports. We will start them after Idul Fitri. It is not a port actually, but a special terminal that is used for personal interest with an expired license. We will give them 3 months time to renew their licenses. We will start the terminal temporarily for them to renew their license. The smuggling activities have harmed Indonesia, especially for the small and medium enterprises. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said that smuggling often occurs due to existing law that allow foreign exchange and foreign trade transaction without letter of content assistance. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelago country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with press review. A summary compiled from various editorial and reviews from several newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's start from the Media Indonesia Daily. In an editorial on Tuesday, July 5th, the Daily writes the month of Shawwal to maintain diversity. Shawwal is the month when all Muslims celebrate Eid, which means a significant improvement. Therefore, the beginning of Shawwal, that marks the end of Ramadan, should be interpreted as a prelude to retain and enhance all the good one accomplished during Ramadan. It is often said that Ramadan is a month of tests against various evils, and Shawwal is the result when people should maintain and improve all goodness and strengthen the victory against all evils. One thing that should be maintained after Ramadan is diversity, because diversity is an all-important matter that must be maintained and improved. According to Media Indonesia, it is important to improve a diversity. First of all, because diversity and differences are inevitable, especially for the people of Indonesia who are rich in diversity and difference, whether ethnic, religious, or cultural differences. According to this daily, there is no other way for this nation apart in earnest to maintain and strengthen diversity. And the end of Ramadan or the beginning of Shawwal is the momentum. Next is Republika newspaper. The daily writes in its editorial, Ramadan Education. Ramadan has passed, the holy month when the reward of good deeds is multiplied up to 700 times its change with the month of Shawwal. Ramadan ends, but it doesn't mean good deeds during the holy month must stop. The routine of pity, patience, sincerity during Ramadan still redeemable, even improved. Like an exam, Ramadan is a time to galvanize ourselves to the divine sanctity. For the purpose, in another 11 months, the mission is ingrained in pity. Pity is not only in the context ritual of worship alone, but also worship in connection with the social interaction. During Ramadan, Muslims were trained and educated to improve the power of giving in sincerity. Because of one's personal wealth, actually there are some that belong to or the right of the needy. This is where the education social pity was formed along Ramadan. One's patient is also trained during Ramadan. Not eating and drinking, even though no human being is watching, no dirty words or curse, even when you are treated harshly by others. And refrain from doing bad deed is the fruit of education instilled during Ramadan. This includes patience in driving during post-Ramadan's homecoming. The educational values instilled during Ramadan is what must be continued to the 11 other months. Happy Idul Fitri, 1437 Hijriah. Let's end the press review with Kompas Daily, which in its editorial writes, bomb attack, tragedy everywhere. The Daily writes it does not understand why a series of bomb attacks in various regions at the end of Ramadan and the beginning of Eid occurred. From Istanbul, Turkey, up to Medina, Saudi Arabia, from Baghdad, Iraq to Dhaka, Bangladesh, the bombing occurred. Attacks also happened in Jordan, Yemen, Lebanon, even Solo in Indonesia. Is there any relation? However, before the question was posed, there have been other questions put forward. Why people are so heartless and attack others, leading to the death of many innocent victims? What are they looking for by killing others? Satisfaction? Satisfaction for what? For watching others suffer? According to Compass, the bombing was supposed to further increase efforts of many countries, including Indonesia, to unite and act decisively to address the group that seeks only to disrupt peace and cause a humanitarian disaster. Listener, that was Press Review. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm Hirmana Rahmana in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While we start for an event on 9th July 1948 is about the Arab-Israeli conflict. On 9th July 1948, 1 month after ceasefire, war between Arab and Israel occurred again. This war was begun by the establishment of Israeli state and Zionist regime in May 1948 on Palestinian land. At the command of the United Nations Security Council, ceasefire was held. Within 1 month, Zionist regime succeeded to collect weapons from Western countries, especially from United States. Zionist regime began to war again, and after gaining big victory, this regime was ready to start war. In January 1949, an agreement to start war was signed. At the time, 78% of Palestinian land was controlled by Zionist regime, and 750,000 Palestinians were expelled from their land and became refugees. The next event was in 1976 when Palapa 1 began to operate. Palapa is a series of communication satellites operated by an Indonesian telecommunication company. All the satellites were launched by the United States on 9th July 1976, at which time Indonesia became the first developing country to operate its own domestic satellite system. Palapa satellite program has put Indonesia into a third country in the world to operate the domestic satellite communication system using geostationary satellite orbit GSO. A generation of Palapa was designed and constructed specifically to be able to concentrate on the telecommunication signal strength throughout the Indonesian archipelago, especially the main islands plus the neighboring countries such as Malaysia, the Philippines, Singapore, and Thailand. Palapa name was chosen by former President Suharto in July 1975. The next event was 2002 when African Union was established in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The African Union is a continental and consistency of 54 countries in Africa, the only Africa state that is United Nations member but is not a member of African Union is Morocco, that opted to leave due to the African Union recognition of the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, Western Sahara, as a member state. The African Union was established on 26th of May 2001 in Addis Ababa and launched on 9th July 2002 in South Africa, with the end of replacing the Organization of African Unity, OAU. The most important decisions of the African Union are made by the Assembly of the African Union, a semi-annual meeting of the heads of state and government of its member states. The African Union's secretariat, the African Union Commission, is based in Addis Ababa. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's entitled Indonesia and the European Union Agree on Cooperation in Human Rights. Indonesia and the European Union agreed to respond to the current challenges in the field of human rights faced by the global community. The agreement came up in the sixth dialogue on human rights in Brazil last weekend. A number of global challenges such as the rights of migrants, the issue of violent extremism, access to justice and policy judgment, mobility and Schengen visa liberation, the rights of persons with disabilities and other vulnerable groups, as well as human rights and business, have been discussed in an atmosphere of openness and friendship, according to First Secretary Embassy in Brazil, Devdi Risa. Meanwhile, in a press release, the Director of Human Rights and Humanitarian of Foreign Ministry said the international community is to address global challenges in the field of human rights, which is much larger and more complex. To that end, Indonesia or the European Union promote genuine dialogue and constructive cooperation as the key to the success of cooperation and effectiveness of the various multilateral forums. In the sixth human rights dialogue with the European Union in Brazil, the two delegations agreed to increase cooperation on various human rights issues at the national, regional, and multilateral levels. Implementation of this dialogue is very timely in the midst of uncertainty and rampant violence in Europe after the mass migration and the last Brexit referendum, which has become a challenge for the European Union. K. Haji Hashim Musadi of Indonesia, who also participated directly in the dialogue, said that Indonesia is also a victim of radical and terrorist acts. The amendment to the constitution at the beginning of reform in Indonesia has been providing a space of freedom that is more flexible. However, it also allows space for the infiltration of ideologies, values of radicalism and terrorism, as well as religious-based hate speech. Indonesia continues to implement the various policies of the basic approach of the theological and ideological counter-narrative Pancasila, law enforcement and repressive efforts. Both delegations criticized the increasing politicization and conflicts between countries taken place at various UN forums, including the UN Human Rights Council. This makes it difficult to achieve global consensus in responding to the challenges of global human rights. Furthermore, the European Union and Indonesia are against efforts to divide the country or misuse of the UN forum that undermine the principle of sovereignty and the UN Charter. The dialogue took place between the Indonesian delegation, consisting of representatives from various Indonesian ministry and European Union representatives and member states. The next dialogues will be held in Jakarta next year. That was Focus Today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Chairman of Commission 5 of the House of Representatives DPRUD Widiana Adia overseeing infrastructure and transportation calls on the government to remove toll tariffs if super traffic jams occurred during the tuning flow of this year's Lebaran holiday. Within 24 hours from July 7 to July 2016, there has been a 12% increase in the number of airplane passengers compared to the second day of Eid al-Fitri last year. In preparation for the homecoming return trip, state-owned oil and gas company Pertamina Region 4 of Central Java has prepared fuel supply to anticipate the increase in number of vehicles. According to a recent study by Peach Group's BMI Research, Indonesia's oil and gas and heyday may have come to an end, with non-commodity sectors taking over as the engine of growth over the next 10 years. Indonesian embassy in Egypt keeps creating measures in dealing with Indonesian illegal migrant workers in the country. Indonesian ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fosi said that the Indonesian embassy is currently negotiating with the Egyptian authority to be able to get valid data on Indonesian citizens who stay and come to Egypt. Indonesian students in Al-Azhar Cairo, Egypt gained special attention from the lecturers of Al-Azhar University. They were provided by two houses or two saha in 2014. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Ignatius Jonan said that the government will shut any illegal ports in some regions across Indonesia in response to President Joko Widodo's instruction last June. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to Jakarta to look closer Prahu Most. Stay tuned. Listeners, Jakarta, besides being well-known with its malls such as Central Park, Taman Anggrek, and the biggest mosque, Istiqlal, has in fact another unique mosque in South Jakarta. This mosque is unique because it has shaped like both. The mosque, which has complete name Agung Al-Munada Darussalam Baitur Rahman, is located on Jalan Casablanca, South Jakarta. Prahu Mosque was built in 1963 by Kiai Haji Abdul Rahman Maksum. Listeners, Prahu Mosque has its own uniqueness which does not exist in any other mosques, such as place of ablution which has shape like big boat. It has white color and looks like boat. It is the main attraction of the mosque and also becomes its own characteristic. At the mosque, there are 10 water faucets and 6 toilets. In the park of the boat, it is clean so that it is very comfortable to take wudu. Besides, Prahu Mosque has unique pole. If other mosques have many calligraphies, Prahu Mosque has 2 thick poles and verses carved of the Quran. On the poles, there are written cursive verse and anur letter. Its wall is also coated by thick wood and has verses carved of the Quran. Not only that, a founder of Prahu Mosque, Kiai Haji Abdul Rahman Maksum, is a collector of jades. There are around 13 jades and other natural gemstones in Prahu Mosque. One thing which can make tourists to be amazed is when entering the library of the mosque. Inside the library, there is a giant Al-Quran whose covers is made from thick wood. This Al-Quran is so beautiful and surrounded by jades which are framed in glasses. You can see Al-Quran by asking permission to the mosque staff. Listeners, making place of ablution, which is like boat, was inspired by story of Prophet Noah when making big boat and saving his people from devastating floods. Although surrounded by malls and apartments, this mosque still stands sturdy and never empty from religious activities, and it is also visited by either domestic or foreign tourists. Listeners, to go to Prahu Mosque is a little bit difficult. After arriving on Jalan Casablanca, you should ask local people. There is a signboard which is written Masjid Agung Al-Munada Darussalam Baitur Rahman, Praisli, next Casablanca apartment. After you find its road, you will pass narrow street to get the mosque. And it is better for you not to drive a car, because the street can only be passed by two wheels or motorcycles. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Prahu Mos in Jakarta. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. In today's edition, the topic is the International Mother Language Day, so stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. February the 21st is celebrated as International Mother Language Day. It was proclaimed by the General Conference of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, in November 1999. International Mother Language Day has been observed every year since February the 2000 to promote linguistic and cultural diversity and multilingualism. The date represents the day in 1952 when students demonstrating for recognition of their language Bangla as one of the two national languages of the then Pakistan were shot and killed by police in Dhaka, the capital of what is now Bangladesh. Languages are the most powerful instruments of preserving and developing tangible and intangible heritage. All moves to promote the dissemination of mother tongues will serve not only to encourage linguistic diversity and multilingual education, but also to develop fuller awareness of linguistic and cultural tradition throughout the world and to inspire solidarity based on understanding, tolerance, and dialogue. Southeast Asian Ministers Education Organization, SIAMEO, Quality Improvement of Teachers and Education Personnel, Kitab Indonesia Indrani said there are at least 700 local languages in Indonesia. In fact, Indonesia is the second country in the world with the largest language after Papua New Guinea. Dean of the Faculty of Education and Languages and Arts of the University of PGRI Semarang, Asropah, says the use of mother tongue among the younger generation is now starting to wear off, especially the local language. For example, the use of Javanese in the city of Semarang and surrounding areas. Many things affect the dilution of the use of Javanese as their mother tongue today. Among others, the influx of foreign culture in the country and the decline in the number of speakers of the language. That's because the majority of parents today rarely use the mother tongue or Javanese to their children. According to Asropah, the use of the mother tongue, especially in the Javanese city of Semarang and surrounding area, should continue to be preserved. It can be ongoing and sustainable. Therefore, in order to commemorate the International Mother Language Day in 2016, the university held a competition for high school students in Central Java Province. The activity, held on February the 20th, is aimed at preserving the Javanese language. The activities included Macapat or Javanese poetry, Javanese storytelling, and Javanese new creation dance competitions. Through various competitions, it is expected to remind the younger generation, especially students of high school, to help to protect the use of Javanese as the mother language. Well, that was Miscellany Today on the International Mother Language Day. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia, Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a music segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Princess, an Indonesian band. Princess was established in 2011. This band consists of five personnel, namely Anna Oktarina, Elma Agustin, Siti Gayatri, Cindy Havristino, and Patricia Divina. Well, before we talk more about Princess, let's listen to a song entitled Jangan Pergi.
Yeah. saja, hanyalah cintamu sayang, kembalilah ke
Listeners, Princess was formed by the youngest Indonesian producer, Kevin Aprilio. Kevin Aprilio is the eldest son of Adi MS, a conductor, pianist, songwriter, composer, and producer in Indonesia. Princess is under Aprilio Kingdom Record Company, which was established by Kevin. Basically, this band is in pop genre, but the band mixed with another element in their music. They bring a combination of pop dance music, which is combined with Disney music and pop Korea. Having different in music makes their songs as refreshment in Indonesian music industry. A song entitled Jangan Pergi is the first single of Princess. The song was released in 2011. Listeners, let's enjoy the second song entitled Sarang Hai. Listeners, Sarang Hai is the third single of Princess, like Prince's other songs. This song was also created by Kevin Aprilio. The song tells about the admiration of Indonesian teenagers on Korean artists. But they have limitation in Korean language. They only understand and can say one word, namely saranghae. Saranghae means I love you. Since its career, Princess has changed its personal several times. Earlier, persona of Princess consists of Elma, Anna, Rachel, Danita, and Alika. On 1st of December 2011, Alika resigned and replaced by Patricia. In May 2013, Rachel resigned to continue her study. The last formation of Princess is Anna, Elma, Gayatri, Cindy, and Patricia. Unfortunately, on 4th of June 2014, this band has officially dismissed. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, we'll play two songs from Princess entitled Kekasihku and Mendua. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Aku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Terpengaruh bayangkan kamu hilang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.